time now for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire and man about town, who joins us here in the studio. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Aaron. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
You know, this is such a great radio station to listen to. I've so enjoyed that live show with your musicians in here, and I look around the studio, that how do you pack them all in?
Well, there were only three. Like, we had to
separate.
It did, right? Yes. Yeah, this was yesterday with the Tan and Sober Gentleman, which we were talking about before we started. Like, there's seven of them in the band. I think they're up to eight now. They just added one. And there was just a fantastic, energetic live band. It's like, I desperately want to get them in here to play live if they're willing, but you can't fit eight people in here, even in a non-pandemic year, and the energy of the show, like, it's just impossible. But I reached down and was like, hey, what do you think? And three of them were able to come in. It was all nicely distanced and everything. It was fantastic. It was super fun.
Well, it sounded terrific.
Love that band.
And it was like history in the making. Like, okay, 100 years from now, they'll be playing those recordings. And now let's listen to yesteryear. People say, wow, that was great. So, anyways, this is one of those weeks in history.
Back in the olden days, yes, of that classic traditional Celtic punk bluegrass.
Well, in music, and our artists mean so much. They're the ones who are keep giving us a vision of hope. And whether it's in music or it's the visual arts, these are the ways, or the written word, or the spoken word. You know, there are so many ways that the artists really add so much to our society, and they're finding creative ways to do it. Or you, who are inviting them in, are finding creative ways to connect in a great way, which is just a wonderful thing. And, you know, that's something that really we need to celebrate as much, are these heroes of the pandemic, which are about everyone. In fact, this week is something was started in 1994. It seems so appropriate. On October 5th, 1994, World Teachers Day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a time when we should lift up and remember all the great teachers who are doing incredible stuff, who are trying to figure out things that they never thought they would be figuring out, treating their students like astronauts, mm-hmm, and saying, okay, from you're there in your pod, let's try to go over things. So,
I didn't think about that, but
And it's a teaching moment for, I think, of even young parents who have their kids and they're bringing them through the pandemic and trying to remain positive and finding activities and saying, this is how we do it and this is why, which is just remarkable. So I think that's worth celebrating anyways, to say there is a teaching moment here, and thank goodness there are real professional teachers out there, and we need to celebrate them because they're doing incredible work, and we know it.
And to be a professional teacher, it's to be professional and to be competent and skilled in the classroom on an ordinary day, but also to be flexible and to be able
absolutely
to say, all right, everything's been turned upside down. How
absolutely
do we do this now?
Yes.
And to come up with new things that you've never done before.
Well,
tried
you know,
before.
It's a time when we can really lift up stories of inspiration, or ones that we say, you know, never again, let's do something else, let's make it better. One of these is a Carolina story. October 11th, 1896.
I just looked down at my sheet of paper, and that was where my eyes fell, and I was like, I wonder if this is where you're going.
I think not.
Yes.
Exactly. They're the Pea Island Lifesavers on the coast. And to really kind of backtrack, after the Civil War, you know, the troops return, and there are African-American troops that return here to the Carolinas. But the life-saving stations were still segregated, and they're all white at this point. Mm. And then in 1876, a ship wrecks near Pea Island and receives no assistance. And when they investigate, they find out that all the lifesavers, who are all white men, are all asleep. And, you know, that's it. They're all fired. So they look around, and they find there is this African-American veteran named Richard Etheridge, and they ask him to be the new station keeper. And he hires other veterans as well, and it becomes the first all-African-American life-saving center in North Carolina. And you have to go forward now about 17 years. They've been trained. This is a seasoned crew. And then the worst happens. 1896, October 11th, there is a wreck of a schooner, the E.S. Newman. And yet this crew rescues so many that they are acclaimed as one of the leading stations, until that station closes in 1949. But it's one of the great stories of heroes, and the quiet heroes that are out there. You know, we think of first responders or teachers, but there's so many ways so many heroes. And I think of like all the people here at WCHL who are heroes of the airwaves in front of and behind.
Not to the
mic.
Level of Richard Etheridge.
Well,
I
no,
don't think,
no, but I'm sure you're saving lives too and providing a sense of hope and continuity that things can happen. And these guys, really, we need to lift up because they really did risk their lives to save other people. And that's what we need. We need some of these inspiring stories to lift us up and say, oh, that's a good one.
And Pea Island is right north of Hatteras. So if you go if you go to the Outer Banks, like there's a memorial to them, right? There's,
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
there's
got to
be some.
Well, I'm sure there's a highway marker since we have them for about everything. Mm-hmm. And history on a stick is how they describe it at the archives. But it's a good thing. And along those lines of another hero is born 1908, October 9th, named Oscar Schindler. And, of course, we know him better as Oscar the Schindler's List movie that Steven Spielberg made.
Right.
But there was a person who saw what was going on and moved to do something and said, we're going to change this. And I think that's a... that's an important person we need to lift up. There is also on, let's see, on October 9th, it is actually a monument is open to the public for the first time, celebrating another hero, George Washington, the Washington Monument, which at the time it was opened in 1888 was the largest, tallest monument, tallest building, I think, in the United States. But the cool thing is, you know, it opens in 1888. Okay, you say, all right, so they must have been beginning the construction in 1876. No. It's like 1848. They begin construction, and then it stalls by around 1854. They run out of money, and it's about 150 feet high, and they just stop. Now, it eventually gets to 555 feet, but it's 1854. Nothing happens. The Civil War comes on. Construction is suspended, and it's not until 1876 that finally Congress says, oh, yeah, maybe we should
get around to finishing this, because that's got to be such a symbol,
you know,
right?
Yes, exactly.
For like an entire generation in the national capital, you've got this great monument that's unfinished to George Washington. There had to have been people writing about that and talking about it as like a symbol or an emblem of just like the unfinished American project.
Well, and maybe, you know, you can't help but think that Lincoln sees this as maybe symbolic for the country, an unfinished monument, that the country is unfinished yet. We can move to a more perfect union.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important story that we just need to know. And then, of course, it closes in the early 2000s because there's an earthquake that happens in Washington, D.C., and finally reopens again after extensive reconstruction.
Well, I was there in 2000 was when I did my college internship in D.C., the typical, like, you're a poli-sci major.
Yeah.
You spend a semester in Washington. And that was when they were renovating it. They
had
that blue scaffolding all up and down. It was gorgeous. Like, everyone, like, usually you do a big construction project. It's like, oh, man, it'll be so much better when we get this ugly scaffolding off.
Right.
But they draped it in this blue fabric. And all over D.C. for 3 months, people were like, can we just leave it like that? I think it's better.
It is.
Yeah. It was really nice.
Ideas for having colonnades down below.
Yeah.
You know, but
I never did get to see the actual Washington Monument until later when I went back to D.C.
Well, I'm so glad.
I've seen it now. Yeah, it's better. It just reopened again, right?
Yeah,
finally got it back open to visitors after being closed for 7 months or whatever. Yeah,
it was quite. And then, you know, it's nice to know that, but it's nice to remember that there are heroes, people like George Washington, who said, you know, he was asked, would you like to be king? And he said, no. So we need to lift up those people that made a difference. There's another couple that are kind of interesting. October 8th, which is, one is Frank Herbert. Now, he wrote the science fiction, the Dune series.
Dune, right, yeah.
But I always loved the question. He was a futurist. And people would say, how do you come up with these ideas? And he would ask a great question. He said, what have we missed? You know, that's a really good question to say. If you're at a total loggerheads about what to do, say, well, what have we missed? And maybe take a look at it that way.
Yep.
Another one is John Clark. Now, he's born in 1609, but he's considered one of the founders of Rhode Island. And he was a big advocate of religious freedom in America. Again, posing different questions and saying freedom of conscience is an important element that adds to our creativity and our commitment to what this nation is about. And I think that's kind of an interesting, or even the right to not believe in anything. Mm. That's okay.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too. I mean, we talk about the unfinished American project. Those initial people in the 17th century were like, oh, religious freedom.
Right.
They made that argument in order to defend their particular brand of Christianity. Like,
that's
it was
right.
just a very limited religious freedom that they were calling for, but they made the argument for it, and then future generations picked that up and said, well, okay, what if we took this argument and took it seriously and really opened the door? And that's where we get where we are today.
Well, I mean, we've already been talking about, you know, this is the 100th year anniversary of the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote. This week also marks the anniversary of when the coin honoring the famous suffragette Susan B. Anthony, October 10th, 1978, it's authorized, and then it takes to 1979 to 1981 when it's issued, and then again in 1999. But again, one of those people that stood up, as so many women did for 70 years, to say, we deserve to have the right to vote too. Something that is just as important today for all of us as it was to women then. And then, of course, the tragic death of Matthew Shepard in 1998 in Laramie, Wisconsin, gay man, and terrible, terrible tragedy. But it also has led to so many people standing up for something better, a better America that hate does not have the last word.
Yep.
And that's really important.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we got time for two more, I think. What do we got?
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Oh, there's always so many good things that go on. All right, here's one. October 6th, 1956 is when the polio vaccine trials
began. I looked
down
at my sheet of paper and my eye just so happened to fall on that one. I'm not even kidding. Like, that's the second time that's happened.
There's sometimes a thin line between coincidence and synchronicity. But when we think about, oh gosh, when is a vaccine and so on? Well, this was something that plagued humankind for years. And, of course, we think of our great president, Franklin Roosevelt, who was himself a victim of polio and who started the foundation that led to the March of Dimes. Mm-hmm. So when you see the guy on the dime, you'll know, oh, yeah, it's that president. But it takes a 1956 when these vaccine trials began.
This is not the Jonas Salk vaccine.
This is a different one.
Yeah.
That was with the dead vaccine. The way that most vaccines are done, this was a live vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of a danger to it. Now it's accepted. And then finally, they say, no, we're going to go back to the Salk one because this one has a little bit, it's effective and a lot of other countries have used it. But at the same time, you have to be careful about how you use it. So, but it's also to say vaccines develop. There are times when suddenly a scourge that afflicted whole generations of people suddenly come to an end because they come up with a vaccine. And that's the great news in the midst of everything going on. We know that's something that's going to happen. So let me tell you the last thing.
All right.
It is World Mental Health Day on October 10th, started in 1992. And the reason I say that is because I'm thinking of a fellow who was, you know, when we look for not only the heroes that we need in our life, or the music, or the artists, but also the perspective. And Louis Zamperini, who was a POW in World War II, best-selling movie was made with him about his life. 97, he writes his life, and he writes about things that helped get him through. And he reflects on this, and one of the things he said that I think is so good, not only the great resources we have that anyone can call into or need to talk to, but his perspective, he said, the people who survived, in a POW camp, you don't know when things are going to end. He would say, the people who survived best said, it's going to be over in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that even if it wasn't, he said, they would reset and he said, it's going to be over in 3 months. The ones who said, I don't know, it's endless. He said, they had a harder time. But the ones who said 3 months, like if you knew that, what would happen in 3 months? You might say, oh, well, then I would do this.
Right.
They would start to plan and fill the day. So
that's
one way to deal with this very interesting time. And I hope everyone is keeping even just jotting down a few things, letters, journals, because when you look back, you'll say, what did you do? How did you get through this? And we need to celebrate that, Aaron. We've been going through this for like 7 months, and we need to be saying, oh my God, we're doing incredible. There's a lot more, and we're getting this together. We don't leave anybody behind. We don't give up. We don't give in.
There you go. And that is History Matters for this week. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear.